Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.
Aaron, I just ducked down to make myself a coffee a second ago and I noticed something I really need to bring to your attention.
Yes.
You remember yesterday we had a big long conversation. People were calling in telling their stories about, you know, fashion fails where you've managed to go somewhere with odd shoes or something inside out or backwards. I just went to the kitchen and had a little look down at myself.
Yes.
Do you notice anything strange about this cardigan that I've got on today?
The cardigan's inside out.
It's inside out. I promise you that was not deliberate. I can't believe I actually managed to do that the day after we spent half an hour talking about it.
I didn't notice it either. It kind of works that way. Oh, no, not from the back because that looks weird with the collar.
Not from the back. Sometimes I'm surprised I remember how to breathe.
Or just look, disturbing news. Disturbing news. There is a potential that a show that I breathed a sigh of relief when it was the pin was pulled from it. And when it was all over, there's a potential that this show may come back. And no way, no way. Big Brother.
Oh, no.
There's talk that it may come back to TV. Absolutely not. What rubbish it was.
Oh,
what absolute
no.
rubbish it was. Potentially go on that new Channel 11 station, the digital station.
Oh, okay. So trying to make the big investment to draw people over to get that flying.
Yeah, because I guess they've got Neighbours over there now and Simpsons and that. You know, I really hope they don't because it was not good quality television. There's no doubt
about
that.
That's the understatement of the century, isn't it? You're right. You are so right when you say that.
But, I mean, people pick on reality shows now, things like MasterChef and things like that. But to shows like that, I say thank goodness that the shows like that compared to the other options in the reality genre, I suppose.
Yep.
It's in a sense, we've hopefully moved on in a better way, in a more positive way.
But we no longer get entertainment out of being bored, watching people being bored.
Yes.
As someone once very cleverly summarised Big Brother.
That's a very good, that's a good description.
Mm.
Yeah, so if you have a chance to be vocal on that, I encourage you to do that and say that, no, I'd rather not watch that. I'd rather you put reruns of what, I don't know, some other, anything but that, I think we'd rather watch.
Some paint drying.
Some paint drying. You know, there could be real legs to that show. Mm. Just watching paint dry and that colour change and then people coming back afterwards say, oh, that's not how I thought it would turn out. And, you know, you could have that. Wow.
Mm.
You could draw that out for
strangely
half hour.
Strangely soothing.
And then you could come back after the ad break and recap what happened in the last section. And then coming up, you know, oh, this is much better alternatives to Big Brother.
Can't talk, watching ice sculpture.
Yeah.
Right now in the city, there is ice sculpting going on, and I'm watching it happen online. There's an ice bear being made. It's part of a climate change awareness project, and outside Customs House, they are sculpting a polar bear out of ice right now.
Very nice.
I'm glad I'm not there because my teeth would be freaking out.
Oh, that noise. Sound. Oh. Yeah. Oh.
The Alpha Course had Bear Grylls out in Australia as their guest recently. We've got some of their Hillsong interview with Bear for you, like about when he was first approached to do Man vs. Wild.
I remember the producer came to see me and he said, I just got back from Everest and I'd written this book on that and, you know, I finished all the army stuff. And, you know, he said, why don't we do a show? You know, I know your background. Why don't we do a show where we drop you in some difficult places and you show us how to get out of there? And I was kind of, you know, TV was so far off my radar. It was the last thing I really wanted to do. I thought if I do TV, I'd never live it down with all my military mates. They'd just be ruthless with me, as they are. And so I said no. And then the guy came back a few months later, and he came back three times in the end. Eventually, you know, I kept saying, I don't want to be a smiley TV presenter. It's not my bag. And the more I said that, the more he said, well, we don't want that. We want the, you know, the mud and the gore and the reel and the mistakes. And I said, well, I can do that. And so we set up the first show and we were about to go and do it. And I remember about a week before I went, I really got the fear and I thought, I said to Shara, my wife, I said, that's it, we're NDEX, I'm not doing it, it's not right, you know. And she said, just go and do it, at least you know what you're saying no to. Which is kind of sound advice. And so I went and we had a blast. You know, I was shooting rapids and jumping out of planes, chasing snakes, climbing cliffs, everything that I love. And it never felt like TV, you know, Yeah, Simon, the cameraman, very early on, he said, just don't present it. Just tell me what you're doing, as we were doing when we were walking in together. And he said, that is what's going to work. And what a brilliant man he is, and he was right. And it's been a huge privilege. You know, I look at these bits of montage and stuff, and it's been a real privilege of a road and fun to be part of.
if you've ever seen Bear Grylls on Man vs. Wild, he's nuts.
Yeah.
He really is. I mean, wow. Crazy stuff. And also great that he's an ambassador for the Alpha Course too. What a fantastic thing. He also had a bit of a chat about life and faith and that kind of stuff as well.
Oh, my faith's pretty messy and pretty stumbling, and I get riddled with doubts and everything the whole time. Self-doubts and doubts of my faith. But you know what? That doesn't matter. That's life. That's okay. What I know that runs through that is that my faith says I'm held and it's okay. You know, I have a lot of risk in my job, and I struggle a lot with that element of it, that I have a family and I have that risk. And, you know, it's an unresolved struggle, I think, a lot of the time. But, you know, it's my job, and I have to listen to that quiet voice that is an instinct that I've developed over the years from these places about where the danger always comes from. And I try and listen to that and just make sure we get it right always.
Well, we've been playing Reach on the station for a while now, and you love it. So the man behind it is Peter Furler, and he's on the phone with us right now. G'day, Peter. How you going?
Hey, Aaron. How you doing, mate? Hey, Helen. How are you?
Hey, well, thank you.
Well, it's been 2 years since you stepped back from the Newsboys. Just to go back there for a minute, with such a large amount of your life invested into the group, it must have been really difficult to move on from it.
You know, it wasn't. It was really, it was because it was such a great time and a great thing, and we're all good mates, and I think that's the difference. There wasn't any big bust-ups or anything like that. It was just really, you know, for me, the last couple of years, well, the first, you know, the time I, just making the transition, it was a great time of, you know, obviously finding Mike to replace me. Yes, it's going to be a different thing, but all the lads, everybody knew that, and that's just what it's going to be. And so, you know, Newsboys was, you know, it was like a tree that I planted in my youth, you know what I mean? And so you really cared for it, and obviously God made it grow. And handing it over was like handing over a church, you know, in the sense after that long. And but it was great. Mike came out and did a bunch of shows, you know, watching the shows first from behind the scenes and kind of catching the vision. And then we made the switch, and then I was behind the scenes for a while, but then it became really evident to all of us that, man, you know, you guys need to move on your own and be what you got to be. And so that was where probably the more of the shock came in, but not in a bad way. Again, it was a good way. It was all very, I would have to use the term spirit-led, you know, it was very peaceful. And so no, there's been no regret or looking back. For me, it was actually exciting, a new adventure, not knowing what the future held, you know, for 20 odd years being on a big merry-go-round, which you always kind of you know, it was very planned out, and it had to be. You know, it was very, you knew a year in advance you're going to be, okay, this time next year I'm going to be in Russia and then China, and then I'm going to be back in the US doing the summer festival. You know, you kind of knew that, where to go from that to not knowing what you were doing with the rest of your life. I didn't know if I was going to be opening up a taco stand on the Mooloolaba Esplanade. But that was exciting. You know, not knowing that was another part of the thrill. So it's been great.
And you haven't made the move back to the Sunshine Coast of Queensland, though, but you have made another beach move, we hear.
That's right. Yeah, I did the next closest thing, and that is Summer and I, we moved from Nashville. We'd lived there. We had a house there for 20 years, and we moved down to Florida, and kind of still felt driving distance to Nashville, but very much like the closest thing to the Sunshine Coast in America, I would say, laid back kind of lifestyle, a bit more of a bit of surf, and some palm trees, and we really love it, but we're still close to Music City.
Are you guys the youngest people in Florida? We always hear people talk about it as a retirement place.
We live in a pretty young community where we're at, sort of a lot of surfers and sort of beach crew, so it's not quite there. That's probably a little further south down in Palm Beach. That's where people go to retire. Where we live is a little bit more boisterous than that.
Good. We were a little bit worried. You know, sure, you've stepped down from the band, but Pete, come on, there's plenty of life left.
Yeah, I definitely threw out some stereotypical curveballs there, you know.
Yeah.
Now, an aspect of you that people may not be as much aware of is your painting. You do some pretty cool painting. How long has that been a part of what you do as that creative outlet of Peter Furler?
Well, for me, it was really, you know, when I finished up with the boys, I just I was free to kind of do what I wanted to do, you know. And so I didn't feel like, I just finished making the In the Hands of God record. That was my last record with them, and so I just didn't feel like going back in the studio. So I think we've all got this creative streak in our office. If there is a God, which I believe there is, and it says we're made in his image and he's a creator, then we have, you know, you see it. You can see it in a housewife creating a meal or somebody, or a radio station, people programming and people, just all of us have that thing in us. So for me, that's something it seems to get squashed a lot, you know. We have it when we're kids. Kids bring home drawings and things and they make stuff, and somehow as we get older, we lose that. And so for me, I just never wanted to lose that, always to remain that childlike thing. So I just began to paint, you know, and just started to, I hadn't really painted much before. A good friend of mine, Jimmy Abeg, he's a great painter. I just went and, you know, went around and asked him some questions, what sort of stuff to get, and then I just began to splash around with no agenda, not knowing what I'm going to do. And voila, within, you know, next minute, everything in the house was painted, including the dog, you know.
Great way to clear your head too, isn't it?
It is. It's really, you know, something that, it's just fun to create something out of nothing. You know, you can go down to a paint store and, you know, pick up a canvas and some colours and just start splashing around, and you never know what happens. And I think the same with music. I usually pick up a guitar and you just got to keep at it and keep at it. I've even realised that this time, just the thrill of writing a song. It sounds funny because I've written over 100 songs, but yet I really had it birthed in me this time, just of, you know, man, if I hadn't gone in that room and sat there for a few hours on that guitar, that song wouldn't exist, you know, on the earth. And so it's a real cool, you just created something, and created something out of nothing, nearly, and just a thrill of that, knowing that, I think, you know, and the creative process is meant to be that. It's like God didn't make the horse to win at the races, you know what I mean? He made it to watch it run, you know, for his pleasure.
And after leaving the Newsboys, I guess, machine of writing, recording and performing, must have been really hard for you to get back into the songwriting.
Well, first it started with my good friend, good mate of mine over here, Steve Taylor. We've written over 100 songs together, a lot of them for Newsboys. And he came around my house we were obviously good mates, and so we just had a... He came around just to chat about what I'm doing, and I didn't know what I was doing, but I explained to him that I was quite happy about that. And so he said, well, you know, we've got a bunch of songs that aren't finished. You know, you've got all these ideas and these riffs. You know, I had them. I usually... They're just ideas. I keep my computer, and I always, you know, document it. So we began to go through that stuff and pick out things that seemed really strong and needed to be finished. And so I said to him, well, we'll finish them as long as you sing them, you know, because I just wasn't in the mode of getting... I just had no idea of doing a solo thing. It wasn't something about it. Every time I thought that way, I felt this heaviness, and so I just didn't want to go there for that time. So we began to, I got into a studio with Jimmy Abeg, a brilliant guitarist, and John Painter, brilliant producer and bass player, and then Steve Taylor. And so Steve was singing... Jimmy was on guitar, John on bass, and just me on the drums, kind of like being back in Mooloolaba. And we just jammed and just kept, you know, no management, no record company, no real agenda, even knowing what to do with it. But that began to birth in me as we began to create these songs. More songs kept coming, we kept recording them, and that project's nearly finished. But in that process too, I began to realize that, you get these gifts in life, and God gives gifts, and they don't stop just because you finish doing what you thought, you know, like even finishing up with the Newsboys. I began to realize, man, I can still sing, and I'm still a songwriter, so that's what I got to keep stirring them gifts up. So, a short time later, I had more songs and more songs, and the next minute, I've got a solo record, for goodness sake.
And I understand your wife is in the band. Just a quick question about that. Did she have to audition?
Yeah, she did, yeah. No, Summer's great. She, I think that was the other thing in the last, you know, a lot of people think, well, you left the band because of your family and you were away so much. It actually was none of them things. It was more, I just felt creatively, I actually felt great in my spirit and physically. It was just more creatively. It was time to let the ground rest. So Summer and I also, we felt in our lives to really simplify. We had an RV over here that a lot of people don't know this, but we drove. It was myself, her, and our little dog, and we drove it ourselves and followed the tour bus and did about 110,000 miles through America, Canada, Mexico, and just camped. You know, we camped, and, you know, when you're living on a RV like that, you've got to conserve water, and you've got to, you know, you're only in a certain square footage, and you've got to really got to maintain the vehicle. And so it was really, it was adventurous, but a heck of a lot of fun. And so for us, we even in our own lives realized, man, the things that we had and everything that you work for, you have to, A, work for it to have it, but then you also have to maintain it. And just looking at everything, we just did one of them adjustments, you know, in life. And so partway through that, too, I began to realize, you know, my wife has been somebody that has been so supportive of what I've done through the years. I could not have done it without her. But I really felt I needed to put more of a focus on considering what are her dreams. You know what I mean? She sort of lived her life vicariously through what I do, been to hundreds of shows and been a real supporter. But I began to, you know, she as a musician and as a very creative person herself, I began to realize, hey, why don't you, let's look at this. And so the two of us began to kind of just jam together and work on songs and get things, just to stir that thing up. And next minute, she's on stage in front of 15, 20,000 people at Easterfest in Toowoomba.
Great stuff. Well, Peter, it's been so great to catch up with you again. We're about to play the song Reach. Set it up for us.
Reach is a song that, you know, just talks about, even though there's this grand God who created the heavens and the earth, he's a very personal God. He obviously, his greatest example of that is him sending his son, Jesus. But he wants us to know him. He's a spirit, that's what the Bible says, and he wants us to, our spirits to be in contact with him and to have a relationship with him and let him lead and guide. He designed us, he's got the greatest plan for us, and that's where we'll only find our joy and peace.
Peter Furler, absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Aaron. Thanks, Helen. Appreciate all you guys do.
Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.